Hey you guys, it is Kim, and if you are seeing this on video, hi. If you are not seeing this on video, that's okay too. I'm really excited that you are here for another video slash audio episode of You Are Worth the Work. When we're on the clock today, because you guys know I record this podcast after my day job is done and before I pick up my kids. So, but I am super excited to introduce my friend, my fellow partner, Toy, and she's a mom, she's a mentor, she's a friend, and yes, I'm reading a note card. Y'all know how I do. I get super sidetracked, so you know I gotta write all this stuff down. She's a mom, she's a mentor, she's a friend, and she is the host of a new podcast, and I am so excited for her. It is called For the Love of It, where she talks about her journey in divorce and motherhood and truly finding herself again. So of course I will link her show in my show notes, and you can find that wherever you get your other favorite podcast, which is mine, and then the other one, which is whatever y'all listen to when you're not listening to this podcast. So anyway, time is ticking, so let me bring her on and we will get started. Let's go. Hey guys, my name is Kim Sanders, and welcome to You Are Worth the Work, a podcast that reminds busy moms that following your dreams ain't all rainbows and roses, but you are worth the work that it takes to thrive in this life. After you listen, please rate and review the episode. Also, if you want to connect with me, I'll have that info for you in the show notes. Let's get started. Okay, hey you guys, Toy is here, and we were just talking about how we mind our business by drinking our jug of water. Can you show them your jug of water?
This is my second one today.
Okay, so that is your jug of water. So then that goes to my first question that I ask everybody. So Toy, tell me, how do you fill up your cup?
Oh, so this is something that is honestly new to me. Took me a super long time to learn to fill up my cup first so that I have something to pour into others. As a mom, I feel like oftentimes we think of it the reverse. And I always think of that analogy on the airplane where they're like, put your mask on, then help somebody else, right? So it's kind of the same thing with filling up your cup. So for the longest time, it was working out at home because it was just easy with having two younger kids. Because when I started this, my wellness journey, it was when I had just first had my first child, first mom, new mom, like I got engulfed by all the things, first time mom. And so kind of working out at home was kind of like my fill my cup. But then that started to kind of be mundane, I guess, in a sense, like it was just, I was just kind of going through the motions, right? Because I've been doing it for so long. And then life got turned upside down. Started to go through a whole divorce process that was super long and expensive and unnecessary and toxic and just all of the things. And I was realizing that all the things I was doing before to fill up my cup were not doing it. And so I decided to, yes, coaches need coaches too. And I decided I needed just a little bit more something. I needed a little bit more. I didn't know what it was at the time. So I sought out a coach, and he created a meal plan and a fitness plan for me. And I tell you guys, we butted heads like this because I had been living and doing, I knew what I was doing. I've been doing this for 8 years, blah, 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 blah. But it was just like having to just change everything in my life, not just where I lived, what my, you know, caregiver situation looked like. Because I was a primary caregiver. Now I'm 50-50. You know, having to go back into the workforce after being a stay-at-home mom for 10 years, like all of these little things were just taking its toll on me. And I was like, you know what? If I'm having to like change every aspect of my life, then this probably needs to change too. So back in October, I hired a coach to do those things. And that is how I've been filling up my cup, along with going to weekly therapy.
Okay. So still, there's still the fitness aspect. It just looks different.
Yes.
That's awesome. Because, and so Toy and I met, I think we met for the first time in real life this past summer, right?
Yeah, in St. Louis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, but we've talked, we've laughed, we've done the things for years virtually together. And the thing about you is after you told that story at Summit, I guess before that, I didn't know that you had gone through any of that stuff because you always have such high energy. Like you always have a smile on your face. Like there's always positivity that comes from you, even I guess what would have been your darkest time. So how do you keep that energy up? Like, how do you continue to show up for yourself? And also I would imagine for your kids through something that devastated everybody.
Right. So it's so funny that you bring up Summit in my speech, because I had wrote, you know, I had one written and it was like all of these quotes from these books and all of these things. And I'm sitting on the plane and I'm like, that is not you. Like, yes, I like to do some quotes here and there, but I felt like this was just like, I don't know, lack of a better cookie cutter like speech, right? About what success is. And I really sat there and thought on the plane, like, I've really had to redefine what success is for me right now. So when that happened, I filed for divorce in January of 2022. So I was in the thick of everything.
Oh, wow.
The summit. Like, okay. We went the whole, our divorce process took 10 months. We went to trial. Like, it was a lot. And one of the things, so a struggle I really had, I think Summit might have been like the very first time I actually like came out with what was going on. Like I've kind of breadcrumbed it here about life changes and blah, 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 but I think come out and say, like, I'm in the midst of this divorce after being with my, you know, ex for 16 years, married 10, and having two kids and just trying to navigate all of that and trying to hold space for myself. But also I think as a mom, it's hard to hold space for your kids, right? Because you try to shelter them from the storm that you're going through, but sometimes they get a little wet, you know, we're not perfect. And I think that was probably the hardest part for me. It's like control what I can control. And I can only control what goes on in my home. I can't control what goes on when they're with their dads. And I think for someone being a 24/7 caregiver, that was the hardest struggle. And I felt, and I feel like that was the part that made it hard to show up every day, especially when the days I didn't have them. So sharing on social media, like what I was going, and I've never, you know, and this is just the craziest part when you deal with a high toxic person, you have to realize you're always going to be the villain in their story. Mm-hmm. Like if you look at any of my posts, I never badmouthed them. You know, I talk about the things I went through, the things I did to get through it, that type of things. I mean, I did obviously say, you know, I got rid of relationships that were no longer serving me, including my marriage.
But that's a true statement.
But also I talk about friends too, you know, it wasn't just my romantic relationship. But what kept me going was when I would send those posts, I got so, not only comments and likes on social media, but I got so many behind the scenes messages about people that were like going through the same thing, or they're contemplating divorce or leaving their partner because some of them weren't married, you know? But just me, I was like, if my message can help one person and I get crap from 15 people, it's so worth it. You know, so just realizing, like, getting up and showing up, which was super hard every day, and it still is, to be honest, to this day. But knowing that there's someone out there that's looking for that message, that's looking, like, my story is their light. So that's kind of what kept me going. And and for my kids too, obviously, like, I want them to understand that I want them to see their mom happy. I don't want them to see their mom struggling and having to be strong and, you know, but trying to find a healthy balance between being strong and keeping my shit together. You know, that's where I struggle, because I want to be real with them. I want to be authentic with them. But at the same time, they know the source of that pain, right? And I don't want them to view their dad in any kind of negative light. So that's been a struggle. And I got my youngest into therapy. He's out now. I'm still going. So that has really been my outlet. So I can kind of go dump all of my frustrations, concerns, tears, and then come out and pour into them.
That's awesome. Because, yeah, I mean, when you're going through something like that, it's probably easy to just continually pour into them and make sure they're okay and over shelter. And on the inside, you know, I imagine you're hurting, you're healing, you're grieving, even though, you know, it was a toxic relationship. You're still grieving.
A loss. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're still losing some, because that's a lot of time in your life that maybe you didn't lose per se, but you just weren't genuinely happy.
Right.
You weren't authentically happy. And so that's awesome that your story, that you recognize that your story was important enough to tell authentically, because somebody is looking for you. There are probably tons of people that are looking for, and even if they're not contemplating divorce, the backstory is you've got to do what makes you happy. You've got to do the things that make you happy, because if you don't, especially if you have kids, your kids can see that. Your kids can feel that. I believe that kids are so much smarter and kind of intuitive than we give them credit for. They understand when you're having a bad day, just like we know when, you know, you say, how was school? And they say, fine. No, it wasn't. So spill it, right?
Right. What happened? Come on.
What happened? Yeah, exactly. Because you just know. So as a mother, you know, but as a child, children feel that. And you can call it vibes. You can call it. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because usually moms are primary caregiver. You're together all the time. So understanding that, yeah, you got to make yourself happy, you know, for the kids, for yourself, obviously, but so that your kids can grow up. And as they grow, because you have boys, right? You have two boys. Okay. So you want your boys to grow up and see a healthy mom as they start to go into relationships. You know, they know what that looks like. So, but
yeah,
it
always makes me think of that. You know, people always say, like, for girls, their dad's either their first love or their first heartbreak, right? Mm-hmm. And for moms and sons, we're their first love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You
know, so I just always thought, like, man, like, what am I showing them? Like, I'm showing them that my feelings and thoughts don't matter. I'm not important. And then I'm also showing them, like, this is how you allow someone to love you, or this is how you love someone. It's not right either way.
This is how you love someone.
Yeah. No, no. You know,
it's how you don't love somebody.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was a lot. A lot of mom guilt went into that, though.
So was that just from this time in your life, the getting divorced, that you kind of figured out how not to get kind of lost in the chaos of motherhood? Because I could imagine being a stay-at-home mom for that long, your identity can kind of be tied to that. So when did you kind of navigate, I'm not just their mom? At what point did you kind of understand that or realize that?
So I worked before I had my oldest. I was a social worker for 5 years.
Okay.
So I've always had my own money. And I feel like when we made it, because it was a joint decision on if we could ever have kids and we could afford it, I would stay home. Because, you know, when you hear about the things that people do to their kids or allow people to do, that's one thing. But when you, like, physically see it, there was no way I was subjecting my kids to that if I could. So, you know, I feel like I kind of got lost in motherhood when my relationship, my marriage, started to take kind of a backseat. And I say that because a lot of my husband, ex-husband, still getting used to saying that. We moved to Vegas when I was 5 months pregnant from Alaska, and he still worked in Alaska. So we were apart a lot, and it just made it out of sight, out of mind. And it's, you know, kind of happened. And I was so focused. It was always me and the baby. And that's just like what it was. So when he would come home from work, or, you know, he'd be here for 3 days, gone, whatever, it was an adjustment. Like, okay, this is another person that's, wait, what? Like, my routine was just off, but I didn't really realize it. And then we had baby number two. And then I just kind of realized, like, wow, we're not really doing, I feel like all I am is a mom. Like, I always had the kids because he was never really here. And, you know, my dad lives here. My dad's been an amazing support. I'm so blessed to have him. But like, I would leave the kids with him, but then I would feel guilty. Like, okay, I'm going to run to the store. I'm going to do these things. My dad's like, take your time. But as a mom, like, I don't want to be that mom that drops my kids off and is like, yeah, I'm out. You know what I mean? Like, I always said I would never be that parent because I grew up with friends like that. But I think that also comes from having kids at a young age. I had my kids at 35 and 38, you know, so, but I still didn't like want that. So then I kind of, so when we started kind of COVID happened, everybody's home. Now there's this man that has been home maybe 1 or 2 weeks out of a month.
Is there.
He's home.
All
I got
the time.
A kindergartner. Kindergartner doing virtual first grade, virtual learning. I got a baby that's not like, it was a lot. And that's when I kind of started feeling like, wow, I always feel like a mom because that's all I do. That's all I do is mom. Like everything I do is them. I wake up in the morning. What do the kids got to do? And then, okay, well, I need to do this, but that can happen after. Or if it doesn't, I'll do it another day. And I wasn't making our relationship. And, you know, you have to look part of, I had to learn that my divorce was not a failure, which took a long time to learn. It was a lesson learned. And I had to really look at my part in it because it takes two. And what I did was I didn't make that relationship more important than my kids. Like they say, that's how it's supposed to be.
And that's a debate. That's a hot debate. Like,
right, right.
I feel like to a degree, your spouse or your kids. Like I've seen people.
Right, right.
About who, which is.
I feel like it's kind of a give and take, right?
Yeah.
But I was always mom and I was always the two parents because he wasn't there. So I just got engulfed in that. And it wasn't until we filed for, you know, I filed for divorce. I was still living in the home. That was good times for 5 months. It was, anyway, that's a whole nother
that's
story.
That's not awkward. That's
not
awkward.
Not at all, you know. but then I just kind of realized, and then when we did the 50-50 custody, and then on the days I didn't have them, like that first month was rough. I cried. Like I would drop them off and I would cry because I'm like, what do I do? Like, what did I do before I had kids? Like, it was horrible. Like I would count down the days till they came home. I would like, you know, find things to keep myself busy. And it wasn't until I was just like, this is going to be my life. Like you got to figure this out. And I just slowly start, I got that coach. So now I go to a gym instead of, you know, I do my job from home and I run my business from home. So going to the gym is a nice break in the monotony, meeting people, being around people, not virtually, you know, which is what we lived on for whatever, because of COVID.
Right.
So that kind of helped. I have some friends here. So I started having the availability to go out and do things. And now, girl, please, I'd be like, is it Monday? Y'all go to your dad's.
Okay, bye.
Is it okay? Bye. I see you. You know, so just I think being forced to really detach myself from just being a mom is what made it. I honestly think that if we didn't do the 50-50 custody, I probably would still be just mom.
Wow, that's so interesting. That something that is so uncomfortable and just downright awful. Like that's it's divorce sounds like an awful experience, but that has helped you. That's been your lesson learned, you know, that's kind of helped you find yourself and kind of more so find your voice. So then that leads me to what made you start this podcast?
So, you know, you look at TV and you look how divorce is portrayed on TV. You file, you go before a judge, you hash it out in court, and everything's done, right? It's nowhere near that. So there are a lot of, so during this process, I read a lot of books on narcissism, dealing with one. a lot of books on high conflict divorce, a lot of books on, because you know, you're supposed to co-parent, but when you deal with a high conflict person, it's called parallel parenting. So that was a huge adjustment there. So I read all these books, listened to these podcasts, and just to kind of like prepare myself, not that you can ever prepare yourself going to court because you don't know your judge, you don't know your partner's attorney. You don't really know your attorney. Finding an attorney, that's a whole nother thing. But I just realized there's so much stuff that I had no clue about, even doing the research, no clue. And I just thought, like, wow, like if I would have known just these little tidbit things, I would have been, one, probably not spent over $25,000 for the process. That part.
Wow.
Just the trial alone is 15.
So where's the other 10 go? Is that the pre and post?
From, it was 4,000 to retain her. It was 5,000 to file a motion because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. Still never did what he was supposed to do. Girl.
Oh my gosh.
If I had learned, if I would have known that the court system was another opportunity for an abuser to abuse the abusee, because it is, not that it's the court's like, yeah, abuse this person, but it's another avenue of financial abuse. You know, they can drag stuff out. They cannot file what they're supposed to file, which requires you to file more money. Mind you, I just started working in June of last year. So just like little pieces of things that I wish I would have known when I started, I would have, not saying the outcome would have been any different, but I feel like me as a person going in, I would have had my eyes a little bit bigger, you know,
and
just have a better understanding of the process. So when I share those things on social media, just little things about the court process and the things that I've done to kind of keep my sanity. And I get like a lot of feedback. I'm like, wow. And people are like, you should write a book. And I'm like, I should, I don't want to write a book. But I can sit and do a podcast. I can do an episode a week about kind of just like my process and things that I went through. And it's, you know, I'm not a psychologist or anything like that, but I feel like sharing my experiences and the things that I've learned the hard way could maybe save someone some heartache.
And some money.
And some money. So that's kind of what kind of triggered me wanting to do the podcast. And then just like, you know, being a 44-year-old mom of a almost 9-year-old and a 5-year-old starting over, it's a lot that goes along with that dating. So just, I just wanted to just share kind of like that whole experience. And because I, you know, you just never know who's out there and where they're at in their journey. And I, and I just feel like mine's worth sharing.
That's awesome. Okay. So tell everybody about the podcast. I talked about it in my live intro and you didn't hear that part, but I want to, they, the people, they want to hear from you. Like, what is For the Love of It about?
So For the Love of It, For the Love of It is the name of it, and how that kind of came to be, because I was trying to think about all of the things that I did from the decision to file, because as everyone knows, women leave mentally long time before they leave physically. So making the mental decision was easy. Making the physical one to like actually tell your partner, this is not working, trying all of these things and it's still not working, that's hard. That is a hard thing to do. So so this podcast is just about how all of those things happened for the love of it, right? For the love of yourself. I did my first episode and I talk about how, you know, you were shown love as a kid is what you look for in your romantic relationships, whether that's good love, bad love, whatever. So the episode's called Damn It, I'm Cursed, you know, and it's obviously not about black magic, but it's about how love was shown to you as a kid, good or bad. And, you know, everyone has childhood trauma. That's another thing I had to realize, like a lot of my issues in my, not just my romantic relationships, but just in relationships in general, stems from my first relationship, which is my parents, what I saw. And so I talk about that in the first episode. And I talk about, you know, you don't have to be cursed. Like, I get we didn't control our childhood, like, but you can control your adulthood. You could control the relationships you have and the quality of those relationships you have as an adult. So that's kind of where it kind of starts, because I saw my parents were married for 30 years, long time. My mom stayed with my dad through, let's just say, stuff she shouldn't have. And I vowed when I got married, I would never be like that. But then I found myself staying married because I had kids.
Yeah.
You know, I started seeing my bits of my parents' marriage and mine. And I was just like, no, like I'm going to end this generational cycle. cycle because I'm sure she saw that from somewhere. And I'm sure the person before her saw that. Because back in the day, you were damned if you got divorced. Divorce was like a no.
Right.
You just became roommates. No, I didn't want that, you know? So the podcast just kind of talks about the different, I want to say, like, stages of finding yourself after divorce. And it's an ongoing journey. I'm still learning things about myself. I'm finally learning to date myself. Been out on the dating scene. Whew, a little sketchy out
there. Is it a mess? Is it a mess?
Just the different things that, it is. Someone has peed in the pool. You know, just that's kind of what brought the podcast about, is just finding yourself after your world's been turned upside down, and that there is love after divorce. And I'm not talking about romantic love. I'm talking about self-love.
Yeah, that's awesome. I am so excited for more episodes of it, even though I'm not divorced, or even if someone is not divorced. I mean, that could save someone from getting divorced, because, you know, you'll hear some signs, you'll hear some things, you'll hear experiences. Do you think you'll have interviews on your pod?
Yes, or that right is now? Okay. For sure. Some interviews of, you know, other divorced women that, you know, I have a girlfriend, which I'll probably have her on the show, and I'm so envious of her and her ex. They do everything together still. They're like best friends. Like, they do Christmas. The only thing that changes is whose house it's at. They do birthdays, everything. They both have partners, which I think that might kind of help. But even when I remember when they first divorced, and they both were single, they still did stuff together. But I think that they divorced before it got to that nasty place.
Yeah, where it's like, I hate you.
That's where I got.
Well, I'm excited. Yeah. I am super excited for your podcast. I am so absolutely. And so when you told me about it, I was like, oh my gosh, she's got to come on, because this is a story that's absolutely worth telling. Like, it's not all rainbows and roses, you know, motherhood. And I say this on like the intro of the pod, like, it ain't all rainbows and roses, but you're worth it. Like, you've put in the work to step up, to say this isn't working, to stand up for yourself, and then to do the work on yourself so that you can be the best you for yourself first, for your kids, for whoever may or may not come next. But you're going to be happy, and you're going to be whole, and you're going to be okay. And you've done the things. And I love that. I love it. I'm so excited that you came on.
Yeah. So thanks for having me. And thanks for your, you know, advice and knowledge about getting one started. Cause I was like, what do I do? Where do I go? Like, what is going on? So,
girl, listen, we all just winging it. I've been doing this for like, has it been a year and some change? It's been over a year. So it's been maybe a year and a half. And so I still find myself like figuring stuff out, cause I didn't think that my story was worth telling. And it took you guys in Black really over and over saying you have a story to tell, and not necessarily just to me, although some people have said it just to me, what is your story? And I'm like, I don't know, but I don't know. But understanding that everybody's story is unique, and that there are people out there that are looking for just your story, keeps me doing this in the cracks of the 9-to-5 and the pickup, because somebody needs to see
mom life,
and they need to see mom life. They need to see two Black women talking about a subject that is touchy, that is emotional, that we necessarily don't share, but can empathize. And as moms, we understand that you need a community, you need a circle, you need a crew. And I love that virtually or in person, you are one of those people, and you'll continue to be that to someone who you've never even met through this platform. So right. I love it. I absolutely love it. So thank you. Thank you so much. You guys, I will link her pod in the show notes for the love of it. It's like all dots. So it's like for dot, the dot, love dot. It'll be in link. It'll be linked and then you'll follow it and then it'll be fine. And then you'll share it with your friends and it'll be awesome. So thank you, Toy.
Thanks, Kim.
Thank you so much for listening to You Are Worth the Work. If you enjoy this podcast, I'd love for you to subscribe, rate, review, share, tell your friends, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.